From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, February 18th, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
The uncertainty fueled by the Trump administration's wave of funding and hiring freezes is now being felt by Maine farmers. Those who have signed agreements with the U.S. Department of Agriculture are nervously awaiting word on whether they will get their promised funding or find themselves on the hook for thousands of dollars for projects that are already well underway. Caitlin Badion has more.
At Farmer Kev's Organics in West Gardner, the fields are frozen over and covered in snow, but there's plenty of activity inside the farm's 18 greenhouses.
We do a lot of greenhouse stuff this time of year with respect to winter greens, so things like spinach, Swiss chard, kale.
Tucked back behind Farmer Kevin Levitt's greenhouses is the new solar array, designed to produce just enough energy to cover the cost of his electricity needs, about $1,000 a month.
We were really pushed into this because a couple of years ago with the hikes in electricity costs, we were really nervous that we were going to see a lot of susceptibility to those increases. And so we were looking for ways to kind of lower our costs, hedge our bets.
Levitt installed the solar with the promise of a $45,000 grant from USDA's Rural Energy for America program. And now that the grant has been frozen, he could also lose the loan he took out to finance the project. That means he'd be on the hook for the total cost, about $150,000. Meanwhile, Levitt says construction is complete and contractors are waiting to be paid.
And so things are just kind of going down the chain of, you know, each person is going to start feeling, you know, the consequences of this action where we can't get funds.
Levitt's not alone. In Brunswick, farmer Seth Kreck is holding off on further work until he sees what happens with the freeze. He's already spent $6,000 on two grant projects worth a total of $90,000 over 4 years. The two grants are for mulching his wild blueberries and assorted planting in his vegetable fields to attract beneficial insects.
It's not massive, but we will have to find a way to pay for it.
Kreck says he doesn't want to end up any deeper in the hole. He says when the USDA didn't have any clear answers for him about the frozen payments, he reached out to Maine Congresswoman Shelley Pingree's office.
And what's going on right now at the USDA is absolutely outrageous.
Pingree says she is hearing from farmers worried about losing their livelihoods to these sudden expenses.
It's got my blood boiling, and I know it's got a lot of farmers in the state of Maine very concerned about how they're going to make ends meet.
And Pingree, who sits on a House Agriculture Subcommittee, says her office hasn't been able to get clear answers from the USDA either.
There's a lot of unknowns out there, and it's beyond outrageous the impact this is already having in Maine and will have on food prices, will have on farmers' ability to keep their farms in business, and the long-term impact on climate change and so many other things that we're worrying about.
It's particularly challenging for farmers to cover these expenses in the early spring, says Sarah Alexander, executive director of the Maine Organic Farmers and Gardeners Association.
Many folks don't have as much income coming in. It may be they're getting ready for the season and they have to spend a lot of money to buy seeds and supplies and inputs to get ready.
Alexander says farming relies on the certainty of contracts.
When you have a contract in hand to do the work, you know, and you expect that if the other signer of that contract is the USDA, that they're going to follow through with that, just like they've done year after year after year.
She says MAFCA itself is in the same position. It has over $1 million in grant funding from the USDA on the line for 14 different contracts, most of which are administered to farmers. As Seth Kreck of Crystal Spring Farm in Brunswick awaits word on his USDA grants, he's trying to figure out how to cover the $6,000 he's already paid out of pocket.
And so, you know, when we sell, you know, 50,000 pounds of carrots, it's going to add pennies to every pound.
And even if the funding is eventually approved, Kreck says his whole timeline will be delayed, forcing him to play catch-up. And in West Gardner, farmer Kevin Levitt says the whole experience has made him think twice about turning to the USDA for help again anytime soon.
and things have been secure. You know, we have had a lot of faith in the government. But this time it's very different. It doesn't seem like the contracts really mean anything to the current administration.
Newly confirmed Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins Saturday acknowledged the problems caused by the funding freeze on farmers and told a reporter that efforts would be underway this week to start solving them. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Bedayan.
Patrick Kelleher, Maine's longest-serving Marine Resource Commissioner, is leaving his post next month. As Steve Missler reports, Kelleher's departure follows recent tensions with some in the state's lobster industry.
Kelleher first landed the DMR post in 2012 after replacing Norm Olson, who stepped down amid uproar from Maine's lobster industry. Kelleher was picked by Republican Governor Paula Page to succeed Olson, and he has remained in that position ever since, guiding the agency amid ongoing challenges to the state's heritage industry as it confronts climate change and accompanying regulatory hurdles. The regulatory changes have often put Kelleher in the position of trying to protect an industry that often argues that lobstermen are capable of regulating themselves. In January, those tensions came to a head when some lobstermen called Kelleher a sellout, and he responded with an expletive when he went along with their demand not to increase the size of catchable lobsters by 1/16 of an inch. He has since expressed frustration with what he calls some in the industry's short-term thinking instead of prioritizing protecting the fishery. He will retire in mid-March. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
High winds and blowing snow in Aroostook County are closing roads and creating dangerous driving conditions today. Route 1A between Mars Hill and Easton was closed for several hours before reopening around 2:30 this afternoon. Other main roads, including sections of Route 11 between Masardis and Portage, were reduced to one-lane travel for much of the day. Darren Woods with the Aroostook County Emergency Management Agency urged drivers to take precautions before heading out.
Make sure you got a full tank of gas, you've got winter tires on, you have things like a phone, maybe some snacks and something to drink in case you get stuck somewhere.
Woods says conditions are expected to improve throughout the day as road crews make progress and winds slowly die down. Enrollment across the University of Maine system has increased for the fourth straight semester. Spring semester enrollment is the highest it's been since 2021, up 4.4% over last year, with more students in master's and doctoral programs than ever before. Chancellor Daniel Malloy says the increase is due in part to more online classes.
We have many more programs that are delivered in multiple modalities that make it easier for people to make their decision on how they want to have that education delivered.
The University of Maine at Presque Isle saw the largest growth with a more than 40% jump in enrollment, thanks to an entirely online degree completion program. Early college programs in Maine will now limit the number of credits students can earn. Lydia Savage, president of the Associated Faculties of the Universities of Maine Labor Union, says due to high enrollment, the amount universities are paid per student has gone down significantly.
When we started the program, the universities in the Maine system were paid something like $155 per concurrent credit hour by the state, and now we get only about $60 per credit hour.
More than 10,000 high school students enrolled in college classes last year and could earn up to 12 credits per year. Beginning with the class of 2027, students will be limited to a lifetime total of 18 credits. Savage testified before a legislative committee last week asking lawmakers to increase the $5.5 million allocated for the program to meet student demand. The Maine Office of the Public Advocate is urging ratepayers enrolled in community solar programs to double-check their utility bills after a small number of customers reported not seeing expected savings. Public Advocate Heather Sanborn says there's no current indication this is a widespread issue, and that problems with one solar provider involving delivery rates have been resolved.
But we are concerned that other solar providers may not have set up their billing situation correctly to account for these alternative delivery rates that some subscribers have signed up for.
Both Central Maine Power and Versant offer an electric technology rate and a seasonal heat pump rate, which are designed to provide discounts to users of new electric technologies, such as heat pumps and electric vehicle chargers. Sanborn says ratepayers who notice billing discrepancies should contact the Public Advocate's office. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, Black history in Maine and across the country. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.